So I'm just going to read Luke 2:49, and it's talking about Jesus when he was not with his parents on the way back home, and they discovered it, and of course, a little distraught that they had lost the Son of God. But anyway, but in verse 49, this is his response to his parents when they found him. He said, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And, you know, the thing about it is his business at that age was finding out in the scriptures about who he was and what he was. That's what he was doing at that age. And then when it came time for ministry, he demonstrated and did exactly what he found in the scriptures about himself, right? Yes. And we all know that. Jesus was just being who he was. Just being who he was. You guys have heard the expression, be all that you can be. Well, you can only be what you know and what you believe about yourself. The more that you know about what God has made you to be, the more you can be, if you believe. So, the illustration that God gave me was like Christmas morning when you get up and you see all these gifts sitting on the floor that has your name on it. What good is that if you don't unwrap and find out what that gift is? What good is it going to do you, or how much fun are you going to have with it? So be the child on Christmas morning and rip open and find out what you got.
Come on.
And have fun with it.
Amen.
Amen.
That's awesome. Amen. Yeah, so if somebody says, what do you mean Jesus had to find out who he was? Didn't he already know? No, the Bible says that in Luke chapter 2 that he increased in wisdom. He increased in wisdom. And so what was true about him in terms of from a spirit standpoint, he still had to learn naturally, just like we do. He came as us and to model what we were to be like. And so as he discovered, you know, all of these things in the Word concerning him, then those are the things that he lived out and that he believed. And it's the same with us. What we discover in the Word concerning us. See, the Bible doesn't become a set of rules, a set of do's and don'ts, you know, and how do I live the perfect Christian life, and how do I live a better life? It's not a manual on how to live. It's actually a book. It's a discovery of who I am. It's a treasure map that every time I open that up, I get to discover more about God. I get to discover more about who he is, but I also get to discover who he's created me to be. Amen. And so that's why I love reading the Word. I'm not reading it like, what do you want me to do today, Lord? I read it out of the sense of, who have you made me to be? And then we get to be co-laborers together with him. Amen? Okay. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, just thank you so much that we have the privilege of being called children of the Most High God. Father, we honor you today. We thank you for this amazing group of people, this amazing family of people, Father. I just personally just thank you for the growth that we've seen, to have people that can lead small groups and people that can disciple others, and that had moved from a place of needing discipled, and we all always need that, but to also being able to help others. Father, what great growth, what you have done at Life of Faith Church. But I just want to honor you, Lord, because of your goodness to each and every one of us, your goodness to your children. What a privilege it is that you, the creator of the universe, the creator of us, would want to talk to us, that we can hear your voice, that everything that Jesus did was to bring us into relationship with you, and that you are interested in every detail of our life. Not just generally and not just broadly, but every detail of our life, and that we can hear your voice concerning those things. So, Father, we just magnify you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Have your way this morning in this service as always. And I thank you that people will experience newfound freedom as we focus on you, Jesus, and as we are moved from glory to glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Last week I started a series, Hear God's Voice. Most people go through life not hearing the voice of God, not thinking they can hear the voice of God. And if God speaks to them, they expect for it to be an audible voice, a burning bush, some amazing moment that God showed up in my life. You know, and there's scripture that shows that that isn't God's preferred way to speak to you. That those are those kinds of moments are few and far between. Thank God that sometimes God has to shake you up and get your attention and say, you're not listening, so let me make it real, real clear to you. But that's not the way that God intends for us to hear His voice. God wants us to hear Him every day. The Bible talks about that with Elijah, there was an earthquake and there was a wind and fire and all of this, these major things. But it said the voice of God wasn't in that. But then all of a sudden there was a still, small voice. And that was the voice of God.
Amen.
And sometimes we are, and I talked about this last week, we're so busy and we're so, we've got so much going on in our life and we're so distracted that we ignore, we hear, there's too much noise, and we don't hear the voice of God. But it's not because God isn't speaking, it's because we haven't been listening. Yesterday at prayer, we have prayer here every Saturday at 9 o'clock. It's an hour of prayer. It's awesome every single week. And more people are coming, and just to see what God is doing is amazing, and to hear from different people. But as I was praying yesterday during that time, God asked me a question. And so, you know, I intended this morning to talk about how God speaks and what does the voice of God sound like. And we're going to get into that in the next couple of weeks. But he asked me a question. Before we need to learn how God speaks, the question is why does God speak to us? Why does God speak to us? Because if you can understand why God is speaking to you every day, if you can understand why He wants to talk with you and the motivation behind Him, then it will actually help you to be able to hear His voice when you know the heart. You could tell me that, you know, somebody could come to me and say, you won't believe what Jennifer said. You know, she just yelled at me and she did this and she said all of these kinds of things. And I mean, it was awful. And I would have to respond to you that that's not my wife. So you must have her mixed up with somebody else. Why? Because I know her heart. I know because of what her heart is, that she would never treat anybody that way. And so I know what her voice is going to be. So you're going to tell me something that is uncharacteristic of her. I'm not going to believe that. See? And there's a lot of preachers, unfortunately, that's talking, and a lot of Christians that are saying things that God said that is uncharacteristic of who God is. And so we need to start out with a place of why does God speak to us? What is His motivation so that we will not be led astray from, you know, from wrong voices or wrong thinking when we think that God is saying things? Amen. Amen. So we're going to start here. I want you to see Jesus is our model. So I'm not going to read this. We don't put it up. We don't need to put it on the screen. But Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, when Jesus went into ministry, Jesus was baptized. Righteousness was His focus. What happened was He was baptized. He came out of the water. The Holy Spirit descended on Him in the form just like a dove. And then a voice says, suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, Jesus hadn't done anything for God at that time. He had not been in ministry. He'd not healed anybody. He had not set anybody free. So see that God's pleasure in Him when He said, you are the Son of My love, was disconnected from His performance. It was disconnected from what he did. It was simply the fact that he was a son. Again, Matthew 17, verse 5, Jesus was on the mountain with three of his disciples, James, John, and Peter, and he was transfigured. He was transformed in front of them and became, you know, glowing like light, the Mount of Transfiguration. And all of a sudden, a cloud came over them, and a voice came out of the cloud and said this, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then it says this, hear him. Hear him. God's instruction to us is to hear Jesus. Hear him. Listen to him. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that in the old times we had prophets, that God spoke to us through prophets, through other men. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we have to have our thoughts, our listening, our ear, listening to Jesus. And I mean, if you go to the Word and look at what Jesus did, look at how he operated, look at what he said, that is God's Word to you. Hear him. But I want you to see that God saw Jesus as, this is my beloved Son. This is the Son of my love. John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said to them, and I want you to see now what a son, how he responds to a father that loves him. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Okay, so you see this relationship. I want to paint a relationship for the next 5 minutes of Jesus and his father. My will is to do the work that he sent me, to do the will of him that he sent me, and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, listen to the heart of Jesus, lift up your eyes, look to the fields, for they are already white with harvest. What was Jesus' passion? What was the Son's passion? It was the heart of his father. The heart of his father captured him. And the will of his father captured him. And because his will and because his heart was there, Father, I want to finish your work. I want to do whatever you have for me to do. He was in position to hear the voice of God. His heart was positioned to hear God's voice because he was not looking to the Father to just do things for him. He was looking to the Father to see what he could do for him. Does that make sense? It's important. Verse 19, this is so key. Why does God speak to us? Why does God talk to us? Jesus answered in verse 19, of John, I think this is John chapter 4. Can we pull that up on the screen, please? John chapter 4, verse 19. I want you to see this. That's the wrong one. Let's try John chapter 5, verse 19. John chapter 5, verse 19. This is so awesome. John chapter 5, verse 19. I'm just going to go with it. I'm pretty sure that's it. 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So see this, that he said, I can't do anything. So Jesus was completely and totally dependent on the Father. That's the way he saw himself. That's the way he saw his Father. But again, let's go back to the heart of Jesus. His heart was about the Father. Now look at the next verse, verse 20. Here's the key. Check this out. Oh, I love this. Look at how he saw himself in relation to the Father. For the Father loves the Son. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. So here we see that the relationship that Jesus and the Father had wasn't just Father-servant, wasn't just Jesus, I got to do what God's called me to do, but actually it was a relationship born out of love, that the Father says, this is my beloved Son, the Son of my love, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus recognized that. Jesus acknowledged that. Jesus lived his life by that understanding. And so he said, because the Father loves me so much, he shows me everything that he does. Whoo! Man, I'd love to have that kind of relationship with a Father. How awesome would it be if we were like Jesus and could say the same thing about the Father? This is why. So Jesus did what he did out of love for the Father. Jesus lived his life because he received the love from the Father. Why does God speak to us? Because he loves us. You have to start there before I get into some of these other points. Every other point concerning what God gives me instruction, God does this, God wants me, God, it all comes out of the Father's love for you. So we can compartmentalize some things, but it has to be based in God's love for me. Check this out. John 15, verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Can I tell you that as the will of God becomes the most important thing in your life, as you decide, man, Father, thank you for loving me, but now I, as you reveal yourself to me, I am ready for your will to be manifested in my life. As it becomes the most important thing, you will dwell in the love of the Father. Now, what if I don't? What is he saying? Is he saying if I don't keep his commandment, the Father doesn't love me? No, that's not what he's saying. Get it for a second. Because for a long time it's been preached that I've got to keep God's commandments before the Father will love me. 1 John absolutely destroys that argument because it says herein is love, not that we first loved him, but that he first loved us. So never confuse this as that I have to do something for God to love me. So what does it mean that I need to keep his commandments to abide in his love? The fact of the matter is, if I am going to receive his love, it's not that he stops loving me, but I can stop letting myself be loved. By me deciding to go my own way, to not listen to the voice of God. Think about this. Think about this. What if one of my children, what if one of your children, parents, you love your children. You love your children. Everything that you do, you're trying to help them. You're trying to rescue them. You don't want them to make the wrong mistake. But what if your child just rebels and says, I'm dad, mom and dad, I am doing my own thing. I don't care what you have to say. Then guess what? I will never stop loving them. But what they've done is they have stopped receiving my love. And they stop benefiting from my love. They stop. They could have wisdom from me. My children, if they would listen to me. You can abide in the benefits of my love. You can experience the wisdom. You can experience the peace. You can experience the joy. You can experience avoiding pitfall. You can experience all of this stuff that comes from my love to you. If you'll just listen, do what I have to say, and you're going to continue to benefit from that. This is what he's talking about. As I do the commands of God, as I listen, as I obey, I get to experience the benefits and abide in all of the fruit that comes out of the love of Christ. Does that make sense? We abide in his love. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So now this is a prayer for you. He said, for every believer, this is what my prayer, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and that you have loved them. Check this out. Look at it. That you have loved them. That you have loved them. Say, God loves me. How much does He love you? As you have loved me. However you think that God loves Jesus, and we just read that He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And that Jesus said the Father loves the Son and shows Him everything that He does. He says, I want them to know that you love them the same way that you love me. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. Check this out. Look at this phrase. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. You loved me before the foundation of the world. How does that apply to us? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm setting you up. Say I'm being set up. Come on. Yes, this is Jesus. Yes, this is the Son of God. Yes, this is who God loves so very much. How can it be possible that God would love me as much as He loves Jesus? And that He wants to do in my life as much as He did in Jesus' life. Check this out. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Who has blessed us. That's a past tense. I like using good Alabama Southern English. He done did it. He done did it. Amen. He's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. He's the way maker. He made the way. Look at this. Look at this. Remember, He said, I want them to see how much love you had with me before or the foundation of the world. Look at this, verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we. He chose you. Like, you didn't choose God. He chose you first. Before you were ever a thought in anybody's mind, before this creation was ever created, God chose you. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, where? In love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, and look at this, by which He made us accepted in the beloved. When He said to Jesus, He said, you are my beloved Son, you are the Son of my love, He was saying also, as He chose us, now, you are the Son of my love, you are the daughter of my love, I love you with the same love that I love Jesus Christ. Now that's powerful. That's the reason why. God created all of this for us. God created all of this for us. He loved us that much. You know, once you determine that God talks to us because He loves you, now we can start defining some things. And I want to go through some very important things. Because God loves you, He speaks to you. Number one, here we go. Because God loves you, He speaks to you. Number one, to make you something. To make you something. In Acts chapter 26, verse 19, Paul, let's pull that scripture up. I want you to see this. Acts 26, verse 16. Paul encountered the living Christ. And this is what Jesus said to him. But rise, stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you. I'm going to make you something. This is the reason. He showed up to with Peter and James and John, said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. When you encounter God and when you hear him, you'll never stay the same. God wants to make you something. He wants to help you move from where you are into his image and experience complete and total fulfillment. You know, the great thing about God, you know, we talk about that we're made in the image of Christ, and that's awesome that God wants us to be like him. But God has an imagination for you individually. God sees you. You know, God sees Trey right here on the second row. God sees Jennifer right here on the second row. That's right. God sees you. Like God, there's billions of people in the earth, yet God is still intimately acquainted with you. He knows how many hairs are on your head or how many are not on your head. He is not a distant, disconnected God that just generally has left things to you. He wants to be very much involved in your life, and he has an image, an imagination, a plan, a purpose, a gift, a calling for Trey, for Jennifer, for everybody that's here. I mean, he's got something that he has imagined and sees about you, and he wants to draw out of you your calling, your destiny, your purpose. He's wanting to call you into this place because he knows that only in that place will you truly be fulfilled. Will you truly experience his love? Will you truly experience the value that he has in your life? That you know, most people go through their lives insecure, not feeling valued, not feeling love. There's people here this morning, as I was praying about it, that you feel isolated, you feel lonely, you don't feel loved. And that is the cry of humanity, is to be loved. That's the cry of your Father that wants you to feel and experience his love. So he speaks to you to make you something. And so he said to Paul, he says, I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you've seen and the things which I will yet reveal. And then he says, I'm sending you to the Jewish people. Then verse 18, I want you to see this. This is another reason why God speaks. Why does God speak? To open their eyes. When he speaks to you, he speaks destiny. The word of God isn't just, I love you. The word of God isn't just, I love you where you are. The word of God is, I love you enough to bring you into a better place. See? We have a sense of love sometimes in our culture that love is just acceptance of people without challenging where they are. Hello? It's just tolerance. And real love isn't just tolerant. Real love does accept. Real love does say, you know, I mean, God made us accepted into the love and isn't judgmental and isn't condemning. Real love doesn't do that. But real love also helps people change. Real love speaks truth to people. And that's what God does. So when God speaks, he speaks because he speaks God, because God loves you, he speaks to you to make you something, to open your eyes. Check it out. Next one. To bring you from darkness to light. His voice is to bring you out. Hey, don't go that way. Don't do this. That's the wrong way to go. You're going to find out that you can't figure it out. You're going to mess up. Let me bring you into a place of light. Let me bring you to a place where you can see what's coming. Let me tell you what's about to happen. He's also speaks to you to move you from the power and the authority of Satan over to the power and the authority of God. He says, let me talk to you, because where you're at right now, you have submitted yourself. You're allowing addiction to ruin your life. You're allowing the things you want to hold on to. Satan is getting a control over your life, and he is going to destroy your relationships. He is going to destroy your marriage. He is going to destroy your family. Ultimately, he will destroy your life. So let me speak to you, child that I love so much, and try to help you move from that over under my authority, my power, so that you can experience what I want for you. If you're lonely, if you're confused, if you don't feel love, you don't find those things in drinking, and you don't find those things in drugs, and you don't find those things in sexual immorality. Those are just temporary pleasures that only serve to make a band-aid over a broken heart, because you're not fulfilled. Can I speak some truth to you? God loves you so much that he wants you to truly experience his fullness, his fulfillment, to be fulfilled in every area, so that you don't bring brokenness to a relationship and you don't bring a broken heart to what's going on, but you bring a fulfilled person because of your relationship with God. You hear his voice, and then two godly people that are hearing the voice of God can come together and become heirs together of the grace of life. God wants to move you from a place of brokenness to a place of healing and to a place of wholeness. He says, because God loves us, he speaks to us to cause us to receive forgiveness of sin. We don't have to be condemned. Jesus took care of all of that. But then finally, to obtain and to live an abundant and joyful life, enjoying the inheritance that he produced for all of his children. That's what God wants. Now, we're going to talk about some other things about how God speaks, but I want to illustrate this a couple of different ways and then just pray with you. I have three children, Olivia, Brooke, and Seth. And there's a good chance Brooke isn't watching this morning, which I'm very thankful for. No. Because each of my children are different in their response to me. I want you to know that Jennifer and I, we love all of our children equally. If you're parents, you know what that feels like. And so when they went off to college, when they went off on their own, one of the things that was important to us is we wanted to know what was going on. Oh, you're going to love this. We wanted to know what's going on in their life. Hey, so before you leave college, make sure you're texting me. Make sure I know where you are. Hey, we're mom and dad. We want to know. We want to know that you're safe. We want to know that you're okay. But then after college, they both, you know, Brooke and Olivia, they've both gotten married. They have their own lives. Okay? And so Olivia, my oldest, she has always... she's very expressive. If you know Olivia, she's just, you know, if you'll never have to ask her what she's feeling, because she wears it on her face. But she also loves to communicate. And so guess what? She calls in and she checks and talks to her mom every single day, first thing in the morning. I mean, just not because she has to, but because that's just the way she is. And Jennifer loves it. And it's awesome. Brooke, on the other hand. Man, they moved to Wisconsin, her and her husband. And what we discovered is... Yeah, so everything I'm about to say, she's a whole lot better now. We've had to have some conversation with her. But, no, she's much better. And they're getting... In 2 weeks, they're moving to Nashville. Glory to God. We get them a whole lot closer. And they said once they move to Nashville, they will start having us grandchildren. That's a big thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, but what we found out is we would call and it would go straight to voicemail. How dare you? I'm your father. And you would allow my phone call to go to voicemail. And, you know, initially it would go initially, like no ring. So it's like, oh, well, maybe their phone's off or whatever. But then sometimes it would ring once or twice and then go to voicemail, which means they pressed ignore. They ignored me. Jennifer's like, oh, no, she didn't. And so what we found with them is that whatever they were involved in at that time was, for that moment, more important than hearing from their mom and dad. And so they got to, and so we just finally got used to the fact that when it goes to voicemail, she just ignored us. But that's just the way that they are. And then we'd have conversation and we'd say, listen, it's not like we want to talk to you all the time. It's not like that we're trying. But here's the thing. Parents love to live through their children. They love to live life, find out what's going on, and we get to enjoy life with them. Excuse me, but I think your Father God loves to live through His children, to live life through us, to know what's going on in our life. But how many times do we ignore? How many times do we press the ignore button when God's speaking? How many times is what's going on in our life and what we're focused on, how many times is that more important to us than what God's saying to us in a moment? Is our life so busy that we just ignore Him? Hello? Hello? Worship team's getting ready to come on up, which is great. We don't need to ignore God. We don't need to be that child. Now, Brooke's much better. She responds now. She calls Jennifer, all of those kind of things, so don't think bad about her. Seth's his own guy by himself. You know Seth. Sometimes we can get him, sometimes we can't. And if we can't get him, son, you were supposed to call us. Oh, yeah, Dad, I forgot. Oh, yeah, Dad, I forgot. Let's not be forgetful when it comes to relationship with God. Here's what I want you to get out of this morning. First of all, know that your Father loves you. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. But I want you to experience right now, I want you to know that the love of the Father is here to lead you, to guide you, to move you into a place that He wants you to hear His voice more than you want to hear His voice. That He wants you to experience Him more than you've ever experienced Him in your life. Guys, y'all can come on up. And he wants you to know Him so intimately because He knows you so intimately. And so as I was praying yesterday, I just believe, like I said, that there are people here. I don't care if you're in a relationship. I don't care, you know, if things are, you know, you've got your family or whatever. But you just feel alone. You're not sure that there's anybody there that's there for you. You feel isolated. And so I'm just going to ask, if that's you, if you would stand up, please. We're going to pray with you. Father, right now, you know, like I said, everything may be, you know, externally it may look like it's going, but in your heart, you feel like that you are alone. And you feel like that you're isolated. And I'm just telling you, God wants to heal that right now. Come on. If that's you, stand up. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And there's more. If you're watching by live stream, there's more. The Father wants you to know. It's just like a little child when they're scared. My little daughters, when they were scared, they'd run. They'd run to me. Run to Jennifer. They want the soothing voice of their father. They want to hear the voice. My voice brings comfort to them. Jennifer's voice brought comfort to them. Little baby, the voice of the mother brings comfort to them. And God wants you to know right at this moment that His voice is going to bring comfort to you, that you know that you're not alone. Thank you, Father. Guys, let's just pray together with them. I'm going to ask you three to come on up. If there's anybody else, come on up. God just wants to wrap His arms around you right now, this morning. Come on up. Come on up here. Come on. It's okay. This is awesome. This is what God showed me as I was praying about it this morning. If there's anybody else, I'm telling you, you feel like you're disconnected or you just feel like that you're isolated. You just feel lonely. Come on up. God's going to right now. I'm going to ask guys there can be. Yeah, come on. Feel like maybe somebody, people don't understand you. Maybe that people, you know, just misunderstand and just don't get it. Guys, if you would, everybody just be praying. Jennifer, come on up here with me, babe. Thank you, Father. This message is for every one of us, but this message, ladies, is for you this morning. I'm telling you, Friday and Saturday, this is what God had on my heart concerning y'all. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I say the scripture over and over, but Jesus says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. But He wants you to know He is your Father and He is with you every step of the way. He is with you right now. He has given you value. He has given you purpose. He says, you are my beloved. Jeff, I'm just going to get you to stand up here. You are the daughter of my love. He sent His Son to die for you. He loved you that much, but He wants you to experience His presence and His love in a real and tangible way. So just as Jennifer and I just lay hands on you, all that we're doing, listen, as we lay hands, what we're doing here, this is something that has transformed our lives, experiencing the love of God. And so all that we're doing is we're just releasing this truth into you. Paul said, I want to come to you that I may impart something to you. We're releasing the truth, this revelation, this experience that we have had from the Father into you, but the Holy Spirit's the one that's doing the work. Nothing special about us. We're just allowing what we have, what is now a part of us, to flow out of us into you, okay? That's all this is. So right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for making yourself so real that the love of the Father, yes, Father, just begins to cause all the pain, all the hurt to leave in Jesus' name. And a fulfillment of destiny and purpose and calling. When God speaks, destiny is involved in His words. Destiny is involved in the things that He says to make you into who He's created you to be. So right now, we release the love of God. In Jesus' name. You going to be able to handle it back there? Okay. It's going right here through. It's right here to Jeff. So somebody might need to get behind him in case he falls out. Father, thank you so much. I hear the Father saying, alone no more. Alone no more. Yes, Father. My goodness, God's doing a work already in you in Jesus' name to let you know how much you are loved.
Yes, sir.
How much you are loved. And you will not be looked over and you will not be passed over. You are loved, oh, so deeply loved by Him. And Father, right now, thank you for calling and destiny and purpose. Rising up in this woman of God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Father. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Just bask in that. Man, do y'all just feel what's going on right here? This is awesome. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you that you love. You love the young ones, the teenagers, the adults, yes, all the same in destiny and purpose. In Jesus' name. Father, just wrapping your arms around her, just letting her know how much you love her, and that you have great plans for her life. And not to be concerned. God says, don't be concerned about the day-to-day. And don't be concerned about all the little stuff that goes on. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Just look to Him. Look to Him. And enjoy life. And enjoy being who you are. And He's making you into everything that He wants you to be. And it's awesome. It's awesome. In Jesus' name, Father, I just thank you. Even through this difficult season, you know, and the challenges that Joy has faced, that Father, that your grace is there, that your love is there, that you've caused her to come, you know, she's come so far. You're making her into something that is so brand new, and you know, into your vision for her life. That Father, I just thank you that you finished that work, and we acknowledge the good things that are in her, in Christ Jesus. But Father, that just in her personal time of prayer, that's just what I hear the Lord saying. It's just in that personal time to get away with Him, get away with Him. And He's going to reveal Himself even more fully to you. In Jesus' name, get away with me is what the Lord says. So find those times in all the busyness, find those times, you know, to pray and to commune with your Father. Yeah, that's awesome. In Jesus' name, Father, just in this new season in Sherry's life right now, thank you that you never leave her, you never forsake her. You are faithful.
Thank you.
And that, Father, right now, just in the environment that she's in, Father, I thank you you're leading her, that you're guiding her, but that the place that she lives is filled with your presence, filled with your love. In Jesus' name, oppression and depression have to leave. But joy comes, joy comes, joy comes now in the name of Jesus that comes out of your love in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you for that. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, let's give the Lord praise for that. God speaks to us because He loves us. He loves us. I'm going to ask the bakers to come up. Thank you, Father. We have the opportunity to send out a family as they go to Honduras. When do you guys leave?
In the morning.
In the morning. They are leaving in the morning to go to minister and to mission work in Honduras. So can we just pray with them right now? Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for the bakers right now. Father, we lift them up as a church family. We send them out. We thank you that as they go out in anointing. They go out in power. They're going to Honduras. Father, and I thank you that lives will be transformed. Lives will be changed. Holy Spirit, work through them, live through them, minister through them in Jesus' name. We're asking for miracles, for healing right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that even as they sing, that even as they minister, that even as they share, that even as they love people, that people will be made whole, that people will be, that broken hearts will be healed in Jesus' name. Father, give them words to speak that'll minister grace to hearers, that'll minister life to the people down there. Father, I thank you that their trip will be safe. No evil will befall them. The angels are encamped around about them, guarding them in all of their way. Thank you for clearly directing every step. And I hear the Lord say, go with peace. Go with peace, that even when you're down there, if you don't have peace about something, then don't do it. Go with peace. Go with peace. And Father, I thank you there'll be a testimony and a light to your glorious gospel and to Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. Amen.